Hi, it's Mark here. What you're about to hear is a sample of one of our bonus episodes, which we release once a month alongside the monthly updates of Dr. Bitcoin. These episodes allow us to go into depth on certain topics that we don't have time for in the regular show, such as interesting or important elements of the Craig Wright story, interviews with those who have dealt with him in one way or another in the past, and deep dives into his legal cases. The easiest way to listen to these episodes in full is by becoming a member of the Dr. Bitcoin Supporters Club, which, for a small monthly fee, will allow you to listen to all the bonus material, past and future, in your chosen podcast app. Or, if you just want to listen to one or two, you can get them as MP3 downloads from our website for a small consideration. All the money received goes directly into paying the cost of the podcast, ensuring that we can keep on telling the Craig Wright story. For more information on our bonus content and how to get it, plus exclusive discounts for bundle downloads, head to www.drbitcoinpod.com. That's drbitcoinpod.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this sample.
Contented Media presents Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, with Mark Hunter and Arthur Van Pelt.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, and part 3 in our Wright vs. McCormack series, representing the next installment of this libel case saga, which started all the way back in April 2019. For the full story of this case and the extraordinary set of events that took place on the eve of the trial itself earlier in 2022, we highly recommend you check out parts 1 and 2 of this series. As usual, Arthur Van Pelt is with me to discuss what could be the final flourishes in this case, which comprised 4 elements, including the costs, accusations of a breach of embargo, and a potential contempt of court charge. Arthur, are you ready to see what the judge thought of Craig Wright's antics in this case?
Yep, as always, Mark. We already know that he wasn't impressed with what he saw in the trial, so let's see if he sticks to that opinion.
The reason for this update is because a hearing took place on December 20th in London, which saw legal teams from both sides discussing various points connected to the trial, including whether Craig Wright had breached a court embargo, whether he would be allowed to appeal the £1 ruling, the feasibility of an injunction on Peter McCormack, and the apportioning of the costs, which ran into the millions of pounds. BitMEX Research had an onlooker present in the court and was feeding back to Twitter on the proceedings, so we were able to enjoy something of a running commentary, albeit less comprehensive than in Wright's previous cases. A couple of interesting points were raised in the session, in which the angle of attack of Wright's counsel was immediate. Throw him under the bus. Wright's counsel argued that Wright's dishonesty, which he admitted to, wasn't relevant because defamation is still defamation in the specific case. The judge argued that in fact this was relevant because McCormack had accused Wright of being a fraud, and in the lawsuit that followed these accusations, Wright had been dishonest, which appears to have helped McCormack's case no end. Arthur, the judge then asked a very interesting question, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he certainly did. He asked, what if a claimant in a libel case is found to commit a serious criminal offence during proceedings, such that he no longer has a reputation worthy of protection? And you know what Craig's lawyer from Ontier said, Mark? He said, it is possible that serious criminals do have a reputation worth protecting. Even murderers may have a reputation worth defending. So yeah, now think about it, Mark. This is, of course, if you ask me, a bit of a nonsense answer. Mm. And it certainly won't impress Judge Chamberlain much. And you know why? Because Judge Chamberlain meant Craig has been found a fraud many times before the McCormack-Libel case, and Chamberlain is well aware of that. Mm-hmm. Now, during the McCormack-Libel case, Craig proves once more that he is actually a fraud, reconfirming his reputation of being a fraud once more. So there's absolutely nothing to protect reputation-wise, only to confirm for a firm ruling against Craig Wright. And that's exactly what happened, and exactly what Chamberlain did.
There was another interesting point raised regarding what McCormack was allowed to do after the trial. McCormack had promised not to repeat the accusations, but said he should be allowed to report on the factual occurrences of this trial and others. For example, repeating the findings of the judge in the Hodlnaut trial about Hodlnaut having sufficient grounds to believe that Wright lied and cheated his way to becoming recognised as Satoshi Nakamoto. Wright's team had demanded that McCormack not be allowed to say this, which was interesting because, as the judge pointed out, the original demand from Wright's camp in this case was that McCormack be forced to publish the findings of the court. Before we get into the four points that Justice Chamberlain was due to decide on, it's well worth looking at some key points from the introduction into the ruling. First, on the point of Wright being Satoshi Nakamoto, Justice Chamberlain explained that Wright had not established that he is Satoshi, but added that he didn't have to because it was up to McCormack to back up his assertions that he wasn't. Seeing as he didn't, due to the prohibitive cost of doing so, the point was not relevant. The BSV clan believed differently, claiming that Peter McCormack got scared of just how compelling Wright's evidence was and ran away. Of course, as we saw with the Hodlnaut case, there was nothing to be scared of whatsoever. Justice Chamberlain then commented on the outcome of the case, saying, "Ordinarily, a claimant in Dr. Wright's position would be entitled to substantial damages. In this case, however, I decided that he should only have nominal damages of £1. The reason was that, in an attempt to establish that Mr. McCormack's publications had caused serious harm to his reputation, an essential element of a defamation claim, Dr. Wright had advanced a deliberately false case until shortly before trial. When the falsity was exposed, he changed his case, explaining that he had made inadvertent errors. I rejected that explanation as untrue."